A couple of things first. Next Sunday is Christ the King Sunday, the end of our liturgical year. And as you have been reading in the bulletin, we plan to crown the year with a Eucharistic procession here in Aiken. And we at St. Mary's have invited all of the parishes of the deanery to come celebrate with us. And that is, the procession begins at 3 o'clock. If you would arrange, come a little earlier so we can get you in line to begin the procession. And then immediately following the procession, you'll be able to mingle with your fellow Catholics from other parishes and with a reception in St. Angela Hall. So I hope you will join us for that. And a warning, if you were planning to go to our Last Chance Mass, which is 5 o'clock Sunday, it will not be there. So please plan accordingly. Because of the festivities, we're not able to do the 5 p.m. Sunday Mass next week. So again, please plan accordingly. And finally, as you know, this past Friday was Veterans Day, and we certainly love and support our veterans. The final hymn today is a special prayer for all of them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Inherent in our faith is a focus on the joy of heaven and how we can live in this world so as to be with God in heaven for all eternity in a state of joy that we cannot possibly imagine here on earth. St. Paul puts it this way: eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it so much as dawned on man what God has prepared for those who love him. We can't even imagine how good it's going to be. So, you know, yes, God does want us to try and do good and help to make this world a better place here. We even pray in the Our Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, trying to bring the little piece of heaven here to earth. But ultimately, we know earth is not heaven. And there's nothing we can do that will make it so. It will come to an end. And we all have to face the end one day, one way or another. But the disciple of Jesus Christ, the Christian, does not face this morbidly or somberly, just simply recognizing first it is a reality, and done well, it can bring us joy. St. Paul, in fact, when writing about what was going to happen afterwards, always was joyful that he wanted to be with Christ, and he would do what he needed to do while he was here, but he was so looking forward to heaven. And now today, our first reading and Jesus in the Gospel both turn our attention to the end of time and our own end. And it also just seems rather natural at this time of year, here in the Northern Hemisphere, at least. Our days have been getting shorter and shorter, right? And turned cooler, especially this morning. I was a little surprised. The leaves themselves are dying and falling. It's natural for our thoughts to turn toward the end, even our own end. In fact, all of November, we spend as Catholics praying for our faithful departed brothers and sisters. And so today, I would like to reflect on the end of the creed, the Nicene Creed, that we pray every Sunday, and we'll be praying shortly. The very end: I believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life in the world to come. Amen. And say that with me. I believe in the resurrection of the dead and life in the world to come. Amen. And that we have two unchanging truths of our faith. Number one, there is life after death. And number two, the resurrection of the dead. That is the resurrection of the body. That is our bodies, not just Jesus' body. Now, the resurrection of the body is sometimes misunderstood, but it is one of the most basic of all Christian beliefs. It's in the Bible, it's in the Creed, as we just pointed out. Our catechism dedicates several pages to it, and it's even in the ancient Apostles' Creed, which we pray from time to time, which puts it rather explicitly, I believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. So sometimes people think, well, doesn't that just refer to Jesus's body when he was raised? Well, yes, but so much more than that. St. Paul says this to the Philippians, quote, that Jesus will take these lowly bodies of ours and transform them to be like his own glorified body. That is it, the glorified body. So remember, the essence of the resurrection of Jesus was not merely the empty tomb. Looking at nothing inside is not exactly what it's about. That doesn't really tell us anything, that there was nothing there. The essence of the resurrection was his raised and glorified human body that people saw, that people could touch, and yet a body different in that it's not bound by space and time. We know he could pass through walls. Sometimes he even had his appearance changed. But it was him. And he promises to do the same to you and me, and in a way beyond our understanding. So I know we're in Aiken, we have a lot of engineers out there. So stop trying to think the mechanism of how God is going to do it. God is the one who's going to do it, not you. You don't have to come up with it, how it's going to be done. If he can do it by himself with Jesus, he can do it with us. Cremated or not, whatever. It's up to God. Now, why is this important to believe? I've had that question before. Well, why is it important that I believe it? Well, number one, it's important because it is true. It is a reality of what's going to happen, a reality that's been revealed by God on many levels. And it's important for us to just accept things that are real. Now, for instance, I could tell you that I am 28 years old with a head full of black hair, right? But I would not be living in reality. That's not true. That's what I look like at ordination. Also, atheists do not believe in God. But God's existence is not contingent on a particular person's personal belief. He exists, even though they may not accept the reality of his existence. So secondly, it's important because it points to the incredible depth of love that God has for you and me, and for us as his creation. You and I, in God's eyes, are not just some disposable figures in some game of chess or whatever. We are not just thrown away at the end as if this body we had weren't important. It's what makes us human, body and soul and spirit. Also, the body is not some prison from which one day we get released and our soul flies away. No. Our very bodies are incredible gifts from God, who himself took on a body in the incarnation. They are, in fact, temples of the Holy Spirit, temples of God. You remember that, right? St. Paul said, "Do you not know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, who dwells in you and which you have received from God?" You're a little church, a place of worship. It was in the body that you asked your beloved to marry you, and it was in the body that she said yes. It is in our bodies that we experience through the senses, that we experience love, and we learn to love God and each other. We belong totally to God, soul and body, flesh and bones, all of our senses. And with that in mind, we then are called in joy to even now use these bodies he has given us as instruments of divine grace. Our hands made to offer help, to give to the poor and those in need. Our mouths made to speak words of praise to God and about God, made to give consolation to a friend or coworker who's going through a tough time, or words of comfort to someone who's lost someone. Our feet, made to carry us to do all of these things, these important works, all are parts of our physical body, hands, mouths, feet, which will be raised and glorified by Christ in a way we cannot comprehend. What a glorious revelation that we have been given by God. Jesus loves you, whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body. And he has promised to raise you, just like himself, glorified for an eternity of perfect happiness. And that, my friends, deserves an amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand.